9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
But it was long ago. Jane, it was lovely. She was a queen of my night. There in the darkness with the radio playing low.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second half hour of Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop, here on this Wednesday, October 29th, 2025 edition. Well, tonight, down in Sparta, Michigan, the Michigan Republican Party is hosting a gubernatorial debate among the announced candidates running for governor. One of the things that is kind of interesting is how they are charging $50 a ticket for a seat to come and hear the gubernatorial candidates debate. Michigan Republican Party Chair Jim Runston wants as many audience members as possible to fill the room on Wednesday night to take in the party-sanctioned gubernatorial debate in Sparta, Michigan. That's why Chairman Jim Runston has decided not to stream the event live. He's concerned that many local Republicans would watch it online as opposed to showing up in person and paying the $50 a ticket for a seat. Something candidate Tom Leonard wasn't happy about when recently talking with podcast host Garrett Sedano, who ran for governor previously. Quote, "We never charged anybody to hear about our ideas and talk about how to turn Michigan around," Leonard said. "I think my biggest frustration right now with the debate and the way that this has come together is the fact that our hardworking delegates are going to be charged $50 a person to come into the room to hear our ideas and figure out who they want to vote for," end quote, said Leonard. Well, to clear up any confusion about media coverage, Runstead is quick to point out that any news media outlet that wants to record the give and take is more than welcome to set up shop so they can cover it in news stories. Well, in setting the ground rules, he discussed this decision with the campaigns of Eric Nesbitt, Mike Cox, Tom Leonard, John James, Carla Wagner, Ralph Rebrandt, and Anthony Hudson. The chair was asked about the status of John James, and he reports that the first answer to the debate was no. But the most recent answer about him attending is that they're now thinking about it. The answer hadn't changed by yesterday afternoon. A James spokesperson did not respond to a question on James' status last night. Congress is not open for session and not taking any votes this week. However, James has scheduled a fundraiser in Grand Rapids for Thursday night. Well, tonight's Wednesday. Also, he had a fundraiser scheduled Monday night in Muskegon. Now, this is not the first exchange between some of the candidates, given the one on Mackinac Island during the Republican Fall Leadership Conference. However, James did not attend that one, and it's unclear whether he's going to show up to this one. Well, MERS News Service asked six Republican pundits on Monday whether James should appear and receive and received everything from a yes, no, and everything in between. Now, one of the things that was kind of interesting is that the debate itself is very interesting because of the most current recent campaign finance reports. If you think about the process, there are some issues that need to be looked at. State-level candidates needed to show their campaign finance at the end of the third quarter as it came to a close on Monday. A lot of numbers were thrown around, but which ones matter the most? Well, with the heavy focus on the Republican gubernatorial primary just a couple days before the debate tonight in Sparta, MERS News Service corralled six political pundits who had experience in Republican Party politics. A big question heading into Wednesday's debate is whether the presumed frontrunner John James should attend alongside super long shot candidates like Anthony Hudson and Carla Wagner. Well, the panel provided a split response. The group was also asked whether House Republicans' focus on the internal dissatisfaction within the Michigan State Police is an issue that should be used in the 2026 campaign strategy. So, in talking with the Republicans, will the GOP use a social issue as a wedge issue next year? Well, the panel had varying thoughts on that. One of the pundits, longtime Republican strategic national John Yob, was asked the question, what are you looking for campaign finance filings later today? This was again on Monday. His answer, well, all eyes will probably be on the independent gubernatorial candidate Mike Duggan's numbers for most political watchers, and whether he built on his initial wave of support from key Republican and Democrat donors. But that isn't what I'll be watching most closely. I find the subplot within the Republican primary against John James more interesting. It seems that Eric Nesbitt, the Senate Minority Leader, is the candidate with momentum coming out of the Mackinac Public Policy Conference. So he has some pressure on him to show that he's converted that momentum into donation dollars. The second most interesting aspect, Yob continued, is whether John James is able to start banking real dollars in anticipation of a TV fight next year with a potential self-funder, or whether he's relying on a few healthy, wealthy super PAC donors to try and do the job for him. However, Yob noted super PAC dollars are highly inefficient in a state primary because they don't get the lowest unit rate on TV. If his hard dollar numbers aren't overwhelming, they will add fuel to the narrative that he isn't working hard enough to win a tough fight. Lastly, Yob also wondered if Mike Cox's strong personal investment in his campaign could steal the not John James energy from Nesbitt. Cox and Nesbitt share many of the same potential donors, especially in West Michigan. Southeast Michigan is tough going for Republicans because of the institutional support for Duggan, the mayor of Detroit. So West Michigan is a bit more important than usual when it comes to the governor primary money chase. Another Republican, Megan Recklin, co-founder and CEO of Victory Field Operations, said she's looking for campaigns that can raise a lot of money without spending it. We talked about this yesterday, the burn rate of these campaigns. Raising money in 2025 can be expensive, particularly for statewide campaigns. So with leading with a big money raise number might be fine. You also have to look at their high burn rate, because basically right now, that's money down the drain. So pretty interesting perspective from her. Greg Manns, principal of Weatherson Media, said the split between in-state and out-of-state donations is something he'll be watching closely. Given that the Michigan Democrats' reliance on national funding networks has opened up an opportunity for Republicans to brand themselves as the Democrats being the party of the coastal elites. Last cycle, the House Republican Campaign Committee, the HRCC, successfully painted Governor Whitmer and the House Democrats as elitist by highlighting the ties to George and his son, Alex Soros, as well as San Francisco liberals. The California, the Midwest branding resonated with voters, framing Democrats as being out of touch with Michigan values. So I'll be looking for similar patterns in these filings, significant out-of-state contributions, especially from liberal strongholds like California. This may actually reinforce the narrative and sharpen the Republican messaging for 2026. Another Republican strategist, Harbor Strategic Public Affairs CEO John Selleck, said he'll be looking to see if candidates can break out of the pack to get John James level of stature when it comes to their fundraising. On the Democrat side, the party suffers from an overflowing basket of candidates, who actually all of them could be the nominee. The one that he's looking at is to see if Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald can show her two opponents as minor level candidates, or if she's going to be in the top on this three-way battle going forward for Secretary of State. Kind of interesting. Or no, I'm sorry, Attorney General. Secretary of State is the next paragraph. We'll wrap this story up. Final segment, hour number one. We'll be right back.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
If you have pain in your neck, back, shoulders, elbows, wrists, hands, hips, knees, or feet, Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic deep tissue laser treatment for you. This technology relieves pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience fast robotic deep tissue laser pain relief at a special price. Call us Monday through Wednesday to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
A book by Rick Randall, Road Trip, the Good Words book for success. Good words that both young and old alike need to add to their vocabulary to impact their thoughts, emotions, behavior, and ultimately their reality in life. Road Trip's Good Words, positive thinking, and daily pep talk will improve your attitude, impress everyone you come in contact with, and lead to a better, happier, more fulfilling life. Get your copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pass the positive. Road Trip, the Good Words book by Rick Randall.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us. So let that feeling.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of hour number one. Matthew Wilk, he is a conservative attorney, said he's interested in seeing how much the non-John James candidates have raised. It's going to take a ton of money to win the primary in August and then go on to win in November. Question is, do they have it? Can they give it? Second question is, how will the House Republican Campaign Committee does for their fundraising? They are the most effective campaign entity in the state right now. Well, do they show that they have some money in the bank? If they have their powder, or are they keeping it dry for next year? Now, another consultant, Anna Heaton of Resch Strategies, said she's looking at whether Garland Gilchrist, Mike Cox, John James, and Tom Leonard are gaining on Jocelyn Benson and the independent Mike Duggan. Will Nesbitt continue his earlier track record of impressive fundraising? She's also going to be looking at whether Duggan is starting to pull in cash from his endorsements. So far, he's gotten solid endorsements from the traditionally Democratic side, but the more notable sums of cash are coming from traditional GOP funders. That's what she's eager to see. Is this going to be now also big money starting to roll in from the Democrat donors, or are they going to stay on the sidelines? Or are they going to start giving to Benson instead? Now, the question that we really want to get into is about tonight's debate in Sparta. The question asked of these Republican consultants, how important is it for John James to attend the first Michigan Republican Party-sponsored gubernatorial debate Wednesday night in Sparta? Well, Mance said that James' presence is essential to counter the critique that he's running his primary campaign as if he has the nomination all locked up and doesn't need to engage primary voters alongside other Republican candidates. Republican primary voters expect the candidate to make a robust case for their candidacy. Dismissing voters and coasting on name recognition alone is a very precarious strategy. Failing to show up could reinforce this narrative, undermine his standing, and signal a disrespect to the primary process and his fellow Republicans. His presence Wednesday night is essential to counter this critique, demonstrate leadership and directly address voters' concerns. While longtime Republican John Selleck argues that it's not important at all. James doesn't have a reason to put himself on the same level as other candidates at this point. He has a lead in the polls, and the other candidates all would trade for a heartbeat just to be considered second place. That said, Selleck tipped his cap to Michigan Republican Party Jim Runstead for organizing the debates and getting the party more focused and organized. This week's debate will be actually more important to see if Cox, Nesbitt, or Leonard can make a splash large enough to turn the Republican nomination into a one-on-one contest. We're not going to have very many people in the audience since they're charging $50 a seat. So the question will be whether there will be a viral moment that can be spread on social media to the extent which the audience of one, Donald Trump, is paying attention. Otherwise, the other three candidates need to separate, and John James not being there will allow them to do that. You see, this is something that is, again, ticking me off. I got 6 text messages. I will not vote for James. I'm voting for Carla Wagner. I got 6 text messages in my phone since I started talking about this story, about these Republican pundits and the debate tonight in Sparta. Well, let's take a poll right now. Let's run it through the next segment. Oh, let's run it until 10:30. We'll spend the next half hour on this question alone. The perceived frontrunner, according to the polls right now, is Congressman John James. He's raised some money. He's got name recognition. He ran and lost twice for the U.S. Senate. Eventually got elected to be a congressman. Allegedly, he has statewide name recognition. Well, I've got listeners statewide right now, so let's do a poll. Text me J for James if you're willing to vote for John James in the August primary next year, or a W for Wagner. Let's do a head-to-head unscientific poll right now for the next half hour. If you're willing to vote, consider voting for John James because he's got the most money. He's got supposedly name recognition statewide. Congressman from Washington, D.C., you're willing to say he's the one that's got the best chance of winning against Benson or whichever Democrat wins, and Mike Duggan, the Democrat running as an independent in November next year. Text me J for James or W for Wagner. Let's do head-to-head right now. I'll announce the numbers at the end of the next half-hour segment.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at FuelCastTV.com.